Welcome to our service for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. We continue our Old Testament studies in the book of the prophet Jeremiah today. But we'll take note also of another of the riches of our inheritance in the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of Psalms. The theme of all our hymns today is the deep and tender love of Jesus. And we begin with a great nonconformist favourite. There is no love like the love of Jesus. Never to fade or fall. The Kyries for Trinity. Father, you come to meet us when we return to you. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you convince us of sin and righteousness. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past. Lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the collect for today, the fourth Sunday after Trinity. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verses 5 to 9. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, may the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we continue with another Old Testament reading, but this is the psalm set for today. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exult in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favour our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever, world without end. Amen. The New Testament reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 to the end. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you've been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In our series of sermons on the Old Testament readings set each week, we looked 2 weeks ago at the establishment of the covenant of Sinai, when the Lord promised the children of Israel, whom he had wonderfully rescued from slavery in Egypt, that they would be his chosen people, his treasured possession. This would be the fulfillment of what the Lord had promised to Abraham, the inheritance of the promised land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. They crossed the River Jordan into Canaan, and in a successful military campaign, established themselves there. But their conquest was never entirely peaceful. Under the charismatic leadership of the people whom our Bible calls the judges, Gideon and Samson, for example, they battled for many decades against the local Canaanite tribes, especially against the Philistines, for example. Until, after the leadership of the great men of God, Elijah, Elisha, and Samuel, they found a king, first in Saul, and then especially in David. In our psalm today, we hear how the covenant that had been made initially with Abraham and ratified by Moses at Sinai became a new covenant with King David and his successors, established in the new capital Jerusalem, ultimately with a temple built by Solomon dedicated to the Lord. "I have sworn an oath to David my servant," writes the psalmist. "I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations." And as we hear further in the psalm, for a while everything goes well. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness. But in truth, the Davidic line is troubled from the first. David himself is threatened by the treachery of his own son, Absalom. And although Solomon, as the Lord Jesus puts it, lived in all his glory, his kingdom was torn apart after his death, splitting irrevocably into two new nations, Israel in the north and Judah in the south, which became easy prey for their enemies, typically the Egyptians in the south and the Babylonians in the north. And we saw last week how the prophet Jeremiah operates in the period when Judah is first threatened by both these neighbouring empires, but eventually falls to the great Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who takes Judah's leaders into exile in Babylon, along with the treasures of the temple at Jerusalem. In today's reading from Jeremiah, it is in that position that we still find Judah. The Davidic line is broken. Its last king, Jehoiakim, will die in exile. The question becomes, how long will the exile last? The great New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce wrote one of the most important books ever written on the life and thought of Paul. In his introduction, he suggests that one day in Rome, there was put to death in the Roman amphitheatre a Jewish tent maker from the little-known city of Tarsus in Syria, on the fringe of the Roman Empire. It may have been that the Roman emperor who had given orders for his death was looking on in grim satisfaction. But if he was, he undoubtedly little dreamed that the day would come when men would call their dogs Nero and their sons Paul. We hear Paul writing in our epistle reading today of the freedom which Nero's persecution could never take away from him. Further on in his epistle to the Romans, he would write, "I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Note the reference to rulers, to Nero, after whom dogs would be named. I was reminded of Bruce's introduction, though, not by our Romans reading today, but by that reading from the prophet Jeremiah. There are two prophets in the reading. One of them you've heard of. Indeed, you probably know someone who's named after him. If you have a friend who's called Jeremy, then whether they know it or not, they are named after the Old Testament prophet to whom we were introduced last week, Jeremiah. But I'm prepared to bet you haven't got a friend called Hananiah, after the second prophet in the story. Jeremiah had taken to wandering round Jerusalem wearing a wooden yoke, making clear that Judah's subjugation to Babylon would be long-lasting. Hananiah belonged to an opposing party. He was among those who prophesied to the people that the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar would be broken, and the exiles and the treasure of Jerusalem brought triumphantly home. In truth, we don't know enough about Hananiah to make our own judgment of what kind of man he was. He may have been deeply devout but simply misguided. He may have been desperate to offer people some hope in their trouble. Or he may have been a time server who made it his business to tell the people, and indeed the remaining leaders of Judah, what he thought they wanted to hear. Part of the reason that you've never heard of Hananiah is that Jeremiah was proved right. He was able to prophesy to the exiles in Babylon that it would indeed be a long time. They should build houses, raise families, run businesses, live their lives in exile as best they could. As Jews have throughout the centuries, the people of Judah did indeed make successful lives in exile, founded always on the strength of their identity as the people of the Lord. And paradoxically, that identity would be strengthened in exile in many lands and over many centuries. In time, the temple at Jerusalem was rebuilt and the nation of Judah re-established, but the independent Davidic monarchy was never fully restored. As we know from our New Testament, for the next 500 years, Judah would operate as a client kingdom of Babylon, Assyria, or Egypt, then of the Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great and its successors, and ultimately the Empire of Rome. The promise of the eternal survival of the Davidic line became instead the promise of the Messiah, a new Davidic king who would restore again the kingdom to Israel. As Christians, we believe that we share an inheritance in both the ancient covenants of Israel. The first covenant was made to Abraham and his seed forever, and we believe that spiritually we are indeed children of Abraham. We believe too that our Lord Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, who is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, the king in the line of David who will indeed be king forever. We celebrate a Holy Communion service today. It's the service of the new covenant made in the blood of Christ, a covenant which we believe will indeed stand forever. Amen.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that He should give. riches treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds that mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the manna upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in any. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. In ta dyr yn oed yn y nefoedd, sancteiddi y dy enw, dyled y dyrnas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddea hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bara bynyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddiw ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac ar yma ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni thrag drwg, can ni seitho ti o'r dyrnas, o'r gallu a'r gogoniant, and I say so. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so to our intercessions today are taken from the work of David Adam and his book of intercessions for this year, Clouds and Glory. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your church, that it may be a holy church, a serving church. May we reveal your love through our care for others and our acceptance of them. We pray especially for the work of the church among the poor and the oppressed, that in you we may come to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, guide the leaders of nations and communities into the way of peace and goodwill. We pray for those who strive to bring peace, and we pray especially for peace in Ukraine, in Sudan and in Nigeria, in all those places where there is conflict unreported. We pray for all who seek to bring unity and harmony to our world, that they may be guided by your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our communities, our homes and families. Lord, make our homes places of hospitality and holiness. In all our dealings with our neighbours, fill us with grace and goodness. Make us welcoming and friendly. We pray for the villages in our community. We pray for this county of Ceredigion, for all who live here, all who work here, and all who come here for their holiday and refreshment. Give us grace to welcome all who cross our door. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember before you today, Lord, all prisoners, especially prisoners of conscience, and any who are in prison because of injustice and tyranny. We pray for all who have lost their freedom through sickness and immobility, who are isolated at home. And we pray for the world weary, the heavily burdened, the worn out and the broken, that they may find within their hearts a knowledge of your presence and the liberty of the children of God which you freely offer to all, despite all the constraints that are upon us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for all who now are victorious, who have left behind any restrictions of this life and are living and walking before you as children of God, those we have loved, those whose witness to Christ has strengthened our walk of faith. May we, with them, know your abiding presence. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.